Good morning. Is my microphone on? All right. Merry Christmas. Wow. It's great to see all of you this morning. Thank you for joining us here at Northwest Chinese Baptist Church. If this is the first time that you've been here, welcome, welcome, welcome. We are so glad that you are here. And for those of you who are returning, what a joy it is to be together again. Before we get started here, I do have one announcement. It's really an invitation. And with the start of the new year, there's coming something new at Northwest, and we're going to start a new series here at church. And it's called the Shaped Series, and it's starting January 14th. And so, Jared, if you could throw up that slide. We want to invite you to come out starting January 14th for a 6-week series to come and discover how God has shaped you to live lives of great purpose and significance. So please, make time, put it on your calendar. January 14th, we're going to kick it all off, come out, and it's going to affect not only our Sunday service, but it's going to spill over into our small groups, and there's going to be so many different ways that we are encouraged, that we are going to be equipped to learn more of how God has created us to live lives of significance. And so I want to invite you to come out. And if you are not currently coming or attending or a member of a church, come check us out for 6 weeks. If you're not a part of a small group, come check out one of our small groups. If you need some information, come and talk with me. Come talk with Pastor Terry. Talk with any of our leaders. Look in your bulletin. We have a lot of information for you. Please come. We invite you. We would love to see you in this new year, especially in those 6 weeks. So I want to invite you. But, you know, the reason that you're all here, it's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. And Christmas time brings so many different memories. Right? We have all these different memories. And before we get too far into it, I want to first address, there may be some of you out here this morning where this time is not joyous. This time does not fill you with feelings of happiness and joy, but instead you're experiencing pain, loss, hardship. And I want you to know that if this is you today, you know, we can only imagine what you are going through or what you've gone through. But I want you to know that there is a perfect God that loves you perfectly and He cares for you. And He is working in you and around you, even though we may not even be able to notice Him right now. But He loves you and He cares. And if that's you this morning, I want you to know that we're here to stand with you. We're praying for you that you may know the peace and the hope that comes only through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I welcome you here this morning if that's you. But for others, what else? What comes to mind when you think about Christmas? You think about time with loved ones? You think about good or great food, depending on where you go? Depending on whose house the party is at? You think about the cold 70-degree weather? That's here, that we have here. I love it. You think about giving. You think about giving and receiving gifts. And I want to kind of let you into my life a little bit, just really quickly. I want to show you or share with you guys some of the greatest gifts that I've been given in my life. All right? And I remember back when I was 4 years old, I received this for Christmas. Not the potato head. 1984. You can calculate how old I am. I remember receiving this. Santa brought it. Or my parents bought it. Christmas 1984. The He-Man Battle Cycle. Those of you over here maybe don't know who He-Man is or was, but he was a superhero. Alright? Stronger than Superman, cooler than Batman. He was man. He-Man. And I felt like He-Man when I rode that battle cycle. It wasn't a bicycle, it was a battle cycle. Alright? Next year, I think this even topped it. Or maybe it didn't top the battle cycle. The Nintendo came out. I remember my brothers and I, we were so excited. We wanted this so badly, and we were blessed to be able to play the original Nintendo that year. And when you think about great gifts, there's also those great gifts. I remember 2014, where my aunt, she bought us red sweaters and sunglasses. And if you look at me right now, look at me. I enjoy the cool weather. I'm wearing short sleeves, and I have glasses. And so I cannot wear sunglasses. But my aunt bought us all the same thing. And I think secretly she wanted to reenact that picture that's up at the top. She was actually the one that bought us those red Polo Izod shirts. Not Polo Izod shirts, to take that picture. But if you notice, I'm the handsome one on the left-hand side. Okay? Great present. Okay? Sunglasses and a sweater. And then there was the year 2006. The year 2006, where Debbie received the greatest gift of all. Okay, not really. I actually, to be honest, seriously, I received one of the greatest gifts of all. My wife, who chose to say yes to marry me. And yeah, we didn't get married on Christmas Day. but that year, she was definitely the greatest gift in my life. So please, she's not here right now, so don't tell her I said that I was the greatest gift, okay? But gifts. You think about gifts, right? We give gifts, we get gifts, we receive gifts. But we must really remember this, friends. The real message of Christmas is not the gifts that we give to each other, or the gifts that you see under the tree. Rather, it's a reminder. When you give a gift, when you receive a gift, when you see a picture of gifts under a tree, it's a reminder of the gift that God has given each one of us through His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. The greatest gift ever given was Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son. And I believe that I would have gravely missed an opportunity if I did not talk about Jesus today and share Jesus with all of you this morning. Because this is why Christmas, He is why Christmas is significant. He is why there is hope in this world. He is why we can experience joy and have peace. It's because of Jesus. You see, when you look at Luke chapter 2 verse 11, it says this. Sorry, that's kind of small. Luke chapter 2 verse 11, the angel said, "Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." You remember the shepherds were out in the field, right? And the angel came. He said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." And he said, "Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only gift. The only gift that truly keeps on giving. And this morning, I want to point out four reasons why. Four reasons why Jesus is the greatest gift ever given. And I want to invite you to pray with me right now. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we praise You for who You are. God, You are the Creator. You are Almighty. You are perfect. And God, we thank You. Thank You for giving us life. Thank You for allowing us to gather here this morning to worship You, to see loved ones, to be with friends. Well, God, I thank You for this time that we're able to study Your Word. God, to listen to You speaking to us. Not to me, but God, to Your Word. And so, God, I pray that You would open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears, that we may hear You, that we may see You, that we may know You more, that we would grow in Your grace and in the knowledge of You. God, help us to realize and to recognize what You've done for us. God, help us to see your Son Jesus in truth. God, help us to recognize how great of a gift you gave to us over 2,000 years ago. God, thank you for bringing each person here, and I pray, God, that we would leave this place not just saying that we attended another service or we've fulfilled our quota for the year, or that we heard another Christmas message. But God, I pray that as we leave this place, we would be reminded or come away with a greater understanding of your amazing love, your amazing grace. That we would come away knowing you more. And so I thank you, God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, the greatest gift ever given. Why? Why is Jesus the greatest gift ever given? And there's many, many, many reasons that I could share with you this morning. But I just want to share four. Okay, the first reason. And if you are the type of person that likes to take notes or fill out an outline, there's an outline in your bulletin that you can look at and follow along as we go. The first reason that Jesus is the greatest gift is because Jesus is a surprising gift. You think about it, God's gift to us was a complete surprise. Yes, the prophets told of a Savior that was going to be born. The prophets talked about Jesus hundreds and hundreds of years before He was born, before He came to earth. But this gift was completely a surprise. It was totally unexpected. Because if you were to examine what actually happened and what Jesus actually did, if you examine that more carefully, you will realize how great of a gift Jesus actually is. And I want to point your attention to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, the Bible also tells us that all of us have sinned. No matter how good you are, no matter how many good deeds that I have done, the Bible tells me that all of us have sinned. We all fall short of God's glory. We all fall short of God's perfect standard. And you know, God is perfect in every way. He's perfectly love. He's perfectly gracious and merciful. And God is also perfectly just. And there is no way God could ever let sin go unpunished, being a perfect judge. You know, what is sin? We see the word sin in that verse. Sin literally means to miss the mark. If you were shooting at a target, it means that your arrow or whatever you're shooting, if you're shooting a gun, an arrow, your bullet, your arrow would miss way off the mark, way off the target. You wouldn't even hit the target. That's what sin is. It means you have missed the mark. It means you've disobeyed God. It means you've rebelled against the Creator. And the Bible tells us that the penalty for sin is death. The penalty of sin is death. And you know, it's not talking about a physical death when the Bible talks about death. It talks about this spiritual death. It talks about this eternal death. That when our bodies, our earthly bodies, pass away from this earth one day, our soul is going to go somewhere. It's either going to go to heaven, it's either going to be with God face to face in paradise, or it's going to be in hell, separated from God. Torment, sadness, pain, suffering, day after day after day, year after year, for the rest of forever. This is what the Bible tells us. For the wages of sin is death. But what's the rest of the verse? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Totally unexpected. Totally a surprise when Jesus came. You see, when the rest of the world or even us, we would say, we people deserve what they get. They deserve to suffer for the bad things they've done. They deserve to suffer the consequences. If you do something wrong, or if you hurt somebody, if you break the rules, you break the law, you deserve what's coming to you. Jesus said, yes, yes, you do. That is true. You deserve everything that's coming to you. Especially as sinners, as ones who do not live up to God's perfect standard, who fall short of that, the glory of God. We deserve everything that sin would give to us as consequences. We deserve to go to hell. But see, God didn't leave it at that. He sent His Son. He sent His Son so that we can have hope. So that we can have a future. Jesus did come. And He didn't come as some almighty ruler to regulate and take over the world. But He came as a servant king. And if you think about it, all other religions require you to do this or to do that in order to reach this place or that place or this state or that state. All other religions center on what you can do and what you need to do. But if you think about Christianity and the message of Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, Christianity is all about what Jesus has done already. It's all about what God has done for us. It's all about what Jesus did on the cross. When He gave His life, He shed His blood so that our sin could be forgiven. When He took upon Himself the wrath of God for you and for me. See, Christianity is all about what Jesus has done. Not about what you can do. Because there is no good that we could do on our own. There is no way that we could ever be good enough to be saved or to earn salvation or to pay the debt of our sin. Many of you may remember back in June of 2015, and I was just talking with my cousin last night, and he reminded me of this story. But many of you will remember the horrific shooting that took the lives of 9 church members in South Carolina at a church. And at the first court appearance that the shooter was required to be at, some of the family members of those that were murdered were given the opportunity to speak face to face with the shooter. And there was one out of many, one daughter whose mother was killed, shot, murdered, was given the opportunity to speak to this murderer. And do you know what she said? This daughter said, quote, "I forgive you. You took something very precious from me. I will never talk to her again. I will never ever hold her again. But I forgive you." I can only imagine what I would want to say to that person if they took one of my family members. If they murdered one of my children or one of my parents. Or if they murdered Debbie, my wife. I can only imagine how difficult it would be to even just restrain myself from wanting to do the unthinkable. But for this woman to be able to say, "I forgive you." Why would she do that? The whole room was silent. The whole courtroom was stunned at the words that came out of her mouth. And you see, when you think about this story, you think about this experience here, in order to understand the greatness of the gift that Jesus is, we must understand the depth and the breadth of what Jesus truly gave, what God truly gave to us. When Jesus died and He suffered the wrath of God in our place. You see, it's a good thing. It's a good thing for us to be able to forgive someone, right? None of us would say, "Oh, it's bad to forgive." It's a good thing for us to be able to forgive someone for the wrong that they have done. But consider this. It's a great thing for someone to not only forgive, but to be willing to take the place and to suffer the consequences for the wrong that someone else has done. You see, Jesus was a shocking gift. He was a surprising gift because He gave everything for you and for me, even though we deserve nothing. Jesus, He was a surprising gift. And not only that, but Jesus is a humble gift. Now, being Christmas time, and most of you, I'm sure, have gone shopping and have bought presents. What would you think if you saw a gift under your Christmas tree that was wrapped in newspaper and tied with string? Well, maybe your first thought is, which guy wrapped that? But think about God's gift to us. Think about the wrapping that Jesus came with. Jesus was not born in a palace of gold. He was born in a stable, right? A place for animals. He was clothed in rags. And He was laid in a feeding trough. This is our King. This is our Savior. Born in a stable, placed in a feeding trough. You see, even when you think about it, when you look at Jesus' birth, so simple and obscure, this does not take away in any way. It does not diminish the story of His birth. If anything, Jesus' humble birth, it helps us to realize the great sacrifice that God made for us. God's gift to humanity, the ultimate gift of eternal life through His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. It came. He came in the simplest and humblest of wrappings. But it had to be that way. It was so fitting, right? If you think about it, if you truly think about it, it was so fitting. Jesus' humble birth so vividly points to the greatness of what He did. Jesus' humble birth, it points so vividly to what the greatness of what He did. And I want to turn your attention to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 says this, "And being found in appearance as a man, He," talking about Jesus, "He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Do we realize what Jesus had when He was in heaven with God, the Creator? Do we realize that Jesus is God? Jesus left that place. Okay, He left that great, amazing place and He came down to us. How many of us live our lives feeling that we have to reach and strive to gain, to succeed, to make it, to get there? But see, look at what Jesus has done for you. He came down to you. He came down for me. Jesus is a humble gift. He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And when you look and you study the Bible, even His closest friends and followers, even the disciples, right? They had trouble understanding. They didn't really get the point. They didn't get what Jesus was talking about fully. Why He was there, what He was going to do. And you look at the people of Israel. They were oppressed. They were under the power of the Romans. They were looking for a conquering king. They were looking for a Savior to save them from their struggles, their earthly struggles, their political plight. But you see, Jesus did not come to start a political revolution, did He? No, He did not. Jesus came to start a revolution of our souls. Jesus came to start an uprising in our hearts, to raise up a people that recognize our desperate need, our desperate condition, our desperate need for Him, our desperate need for salvation through Him. And He provided this. He provided the way by sacrificing His life, by settling the debt of our sin, by shedding His blood. See, friends, brothers, sisters, never forget, Jesus provided for our greatest need. Jesus provided for your greatest need by humbling Himself to death on the cross. And I'm a parent of three children. Brayden, Caleb, and Hannah. 9-year-old, 7-year-old, and 4-year-old. And as a parent, I would like to believe that I will do anything for their benefit. I would do anything to make sure that they have the best, that they succeed, that they are taken care of. But see, there's a tension there that I struggle with. There's a tension every day that I struggle with. Because I'm bombarded every day. I have to think about, and it's a reality. I got to think about education. I got to think about what finances. I have to think about their future careers and if they're going to get married or not. And how can I best set them up to be successful and provided for on this earth? That's part of my responsibility as a parent, right? At least any good parent. But see, sometimes when I think about those things and I'm spending time and money and effort and providing for all of those earthly things, I lose sight of the Bible and God's Word, the truth. See, how tragic and horrific would it be that at the end of my children's lives, if they were to gain the world, but lose their soul? How tragic would that be if my children had everything on this earth, yet they lost their soul? You see, I want them to have the best. And I will do my best. But see, how often do I put God second? And I put other things in this world like education and money and financial security and setting everything up so they go to the best school, which is not a bad thing. But if we put it before God, it is sin. What good is it if my children and my family gain the whole world but lose their soul? You see, Jesus came because He knew our greatest need. We needed a Savior. We needed forgiveness. Our future was hell. But Jesus came so that we might have life. And He didn't say life that sucks. He didn't say that so that you may have life that's robbed of joy and happiness and fun and humor. Jesus said, I've come so that you may have life and have it abundantly. And that life, that abundant life, if we want to thrive in this life, that life comes only through a relationship with Jesus. Ephesians, you know, yeah, Jesus is the greatest gift. He's a surprising gift, He's a humble gift, and He's also a gracious gift. You look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Jesus is a gracious gift. Do we realize we don't deserve? We don't deserve any good thing in light of the truth that we're all broken and in sin. In light of the fact that we all fall short of the glory of God, we do not deserve one good thing. We don't deserve Jesus to come and to die for us and to give His life to save you and me, to shed His blood. You see, at Christmas time, who do you give gifts to? You usually give gifts to those that you care about. Those that you have a good, well, I mean, we give gifts to people that maybe we don't like, but grudgingly, right? But we usually give gifts to those that we love, that are kind to us over the past year. You know, if we haven't talked to them in a couple years, then maybe we won't give them anything. Or we give to those who maybe have given us a gift first. Right? You've all done that. Like, oh, whoa, they gave me a gift. Ah, we gotta go get something. We don't give gifts to the person that slanders us. We don't give gifts to our enemy, the person that we think hates us. The person that we argued with, the brother, the sister, the family member that we got in a fight with, that said those mean things, that did those mean things, those hurtful things. Yeah, what did God do? God gave us the greatest gift when we were still His enemies, right? He gave us, He said, Jesus came while we were still His enemies. It's by His grace that we have been saved through faith. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. And when we're talking about what God has done for us, grace is receiving God's divine favor and blessing that we do not deserve. It's only by His grace that you are saved. It's only by His grace that I am saved. And yes, there's that faith component of salvation, which means actually believing in God, trusting in Him, trusting that He's for real, trusting that you need Him, trusting Him as your Savior and Lord. It's by grace through faith. And a reminder that it's not by anything you can do. It's all about what He has done. It's a gift. Jesus is the greatest gift. He gave us what we don't deserve. And I want to share with you this story that I heard about. There was a postal worker. And he was sorting through the mail, and he came across a handwritten envelope addressed to God. And clearly that envelope wasn't going to make it its way to heaven, right? Addressed to God. So this curious postal worker opened it. And inside was a letter from an elderly woman telling God that her last $200 had been stolen and she would have nothing at all to eat for Christmas. And this postal worker was really touched. Touched by the letter. And so he talked. He got together all the employees that were around and they took up a collection. They raised $180. They put it in an envelope. They delivered it to this woman when she wouldn't see them, hoping that she would really be surprised. And they felt really good about what they had done. So Christmas came and went. Another envelope arrived with the same lettering, addressed to God. Okay, again, the postal workers thought, oh wow, maybe this woman sent a thank you note to us. Alright, awesome. So thankful that she got it. So they opened it to see what the woman had said. And the letter said this: Dear God, thank you for the $180 you sent for Christmas. Otherwise, it would have been so bleak. P.S. You were $20 short. And it was probably one of those thieving workers at the post office that stole it. Sometimes we are so easily distracted. So often do we easily miss the point. This woman received this gift that she didn't deserve, that she didn't know was coming, yet all she could focus on, see the end of that letter, P.S., you left out $20. And probably those people stole it. How easy is it for you to forget how great of a gift has been given by God to you through His Son? How many of us, and I'm guilty of this too, we find ourselves complaining day by day. We find ourselves in a season of life where we're crying out to God or cursing God. God, why don't you just give me this? If you could just give me this. God, why didn't you do this? If you could only do this, God, I would be happy. God, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you stop that? God, why didn't you do this for me? And all the while, we're forgetting what God has already done. All the while, we forget what God has done already. What Jesus has done. What He did on the cross. How He conquered death. So Jesus is the greatest gift of all. He's the greatest gift ever given. And I think, in studying and preparing for this message this morning to encourage you with, I think to myself, why is it that Jesus is the greatest gift? You see, what if I had it all? What if I could go to heaven? What if I could experience paradise? What if I could be pain-free for the rest of forever? Happy for the rest of forever? What if there was no more sadness, no more pain? What if I got eternal life? What if I got joy? What if I got peace? But what if Jesus wasn't there? What if God was removed from that? It would not be great. It would not be great. You see, why is Jesus the greatest gift? It's not about what we get from Him, but the fact that we get Him. The greatest thing about Jesus is the fact that He allowed us to be with Him and that we are His. We get Jesus. He is the greatest gift because of the relationship that we can have with Him. The relationship that He allows us to have with our Creator. It all means nothing if we don't have Jesus. And so I ask you, dear friends, brothers, sisters, in Christ. What have you done with this gift? What have you done with this gift? Do you think about the gifts that you've received in the past? The ones that you re-gifted? The ones that you've returned? The ones that you just let sit and collect dust? I've done that. I've done all of those things. What about this gift? What about the gift of Jesus Christ? Some of us have just locked it away as a memory, as knowledge. Some of us have put it to the side and said, "It gets later. I'll go to them later when the time's right." Some of you, you've received the gift. The gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And yet we just hold it to ourselves. Brothers, sisters in Christ, as a believer, you've been adopted into God's family. You know the preciousness of the gift of Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you, with great joy, I encourage you to share that gift, this gift. Share it with your family members that are not believers. Share it with your friends, your loved ones that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We're going to meet with them tomorrow. We're going to eat with them. We're going to joke with them and talk with them. We're not trying to ram anything down anyone's throat. But if we love them, wouldn't we want to share with them? Wouldn't we want them to not just have the world and to have the joys of the world, but really to have true joy in knowing the Creator of the world? For those of you who are here who are not followers of Jesus Christ, maybe you're hearing what I'm talking about and you're saying, "Yeah, I've heard it before, Pastor Steve. Sounds great. Jesus was born on Christmas Day. He's God's Son. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. I've heard it all. But Jesus isn't going to pay my bills. Jesus isn't going to take care and be here physically taking care of my family." I tell you this. There is no way you would be alive today and breathing without Jesus. There is no way you can go another day without knowing Him. As you consider Jesus this morning, answer that question for me. What are you going to do with that gift? You just going to put it away? You going to ignore it? Or will you receive it? And will you share it? Because I guarantee you, if you receive the gift that God has given us through His Son, if you receive it, if you trust in Him, you'll never be the same. I want to invite you to pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you for today. God, forgive us for how we fall short. Forgive us for how we get so distracted by the things of this world. How we desire the things and we hold on to them so tightly, forgetting that you are the one that's created these good things. You're the one that gives us these good things. And yet, God, we forget about you, the greatest thing, the greatest person, the greatest King, the greatest God, the one and only true living God. And God, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. I pray, God, that upon being reminded of Jesus and how He came and how He died and how He saved us, God, I pray that we would remember that what a joy we have in Him and how Jesus revealed your heart. And how, God, you demonstrated your love to us through your one and only Son. And so, God, I pray that this morning that we would choose That we would choose to receive Jesus, and that we would choose to share and tell the world, proclaim to the world the good news of your Son. And God, I pray that we wouldn't wait any longer. God, I pray that you would remove blindness that are on our eyes, walls that are around our hearts, that you would reveal our need for you, that we would recognize our need for you, our need to turn to you, to acknowledge our sin, and to receive your forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And so God, I thank you. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the hope that we have only in you. And God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends, yeah, that last blank is Jesus is a revealing gift. And I do want to share that verse with you again that's on your outline, is that God demonstrated His love to us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus is a revealing gift. He revealed the heart of God. His love for us. His great love for you and for me. And see, I want to invite you to stand. And as you consider how God loves you, and to the extent that He demonstrated His love to you and to me, I want to invite you, and we want to open up this time for you to respond to what God is speaking to you, what God has put on your heart. And if you are here for the first time, or maybe you want to put your faith, your trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior for the very first time, or maybe for the real time, that this time is for real because you get it. God has opened your eyes and you believe, you know, you recognize your need for Him and you want to trust Him as your Lord and your Savior. If you want to do that today, I want to invite you just to come and share that with me so that I can pray with you. So that I can pray with you, so that I can encourage you, so that we as a church can come alongside you. If that's your decision today, I want to invite you to come as we sing, as we respond to God. But also, for my brothers and sisters in Christ, if God is leading you, if God has put someone on your heart today to tell them about Jesus, someone that's on your heart that is lost, that is not a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, I invite you to come and to pray for them. And I love you to come and I would love to pray with you. But if you want, I invite you to come and respond to God and what He's put on your heart by just coming and kneeling and praying for that loved one and praying for yourself that God would give you the boldness, that God would give you the words to say, that God would give you that boldness to actually take that opportunity today, tomorrow, this week, next week, to share the good news of Jesus with them, that they may know Him, that they may be saved, that they may have the blessed assurance of eternal life. If that is your choice, if that is a decision, if God has put something on your heart, as we sing, I invite you to come.